Academic Aesthetic Podcast for September 30th, 2005. I am your host, Aaron Art Guy Smith. Once again, you got another car cast. I don't know exactly how long this one's going to last, but I've been going through Lawrence Lessig's book, Free Culture, which I'll put a link to it on the show notes. It's a wonderful book that is licensed under the Creative Commons license, which shouldn't be too surprising since it is by Lawrence Lessig. And I've been thinking about copying as related to me while I was growing up. So this whole podcast is a history of not copying in general, but a history of my copying. When I was really young in elementary school, if I wanted to draw something, I would copy it. I would either find a picture that I thought was really cool and I would trace it, or I might try to draw a picture freehand that I had seen before or that I was looking at the time. Every now and then, I would come up with an idea that I thought was really cool and draw that out, and it would be my own original idea, but then I would draw that same picture again and again, so I'd be copying stuff I did myself. I was always copying, except for the few times where I came up with something new. And at the time, there was really nothing wrong with that. I was practicing. I was developing hand-eye coordination skills. No one had ever told me copying was wrong. And I always had a lot of respect for the people who were able to draw the things that I was copying. Then I got a little bit older. In high school, I had someone who, in my opinion, was one of the best high school teachers ever. My high school art teacher. Now, he's retired now, but at the time, he had us doing all kinds of cool things, and he allowed for a lot of freedom in his class, which was really cool in and of itself. A lot of times with our projects, sometimes he would pick the subject matter we had to do, sometimes he'd pick the media, but usually he only picked one of the two. He didn't always pick both of them. So we got a lot of choices. And he did have an enlarger. The enlarger was an opaque projector. Those of you who are familiar with these are really cool devices where you take a picture and you put it down. And it could be a picture in a book. It could be a drawing that someone's made. It doesn't have to be on a transparency. And with a combination of light and mirrors, an opaque projector will take that image and project it onto a wall or a screen. And we would use this to enlarge things. It could be a drawing we've done that we want to make bigger. It could be a picture we got out of a book that we want to make bigger. He let us do either. And for things like when we decorated windows for a local nursing home every winter, we would use that to enlarge the papers that we would use to decorate the windows. And that was all cool. And again, that was copying. Now, there was some modification involved. We were making something bigger. But for all intents and purposes, it was a copy. And again, no one had told us this was wrong. We knew that we were not the original creators. We knew we could not claim that we owned the thing we had copied. But we still thought it was cool. As a matter of fact, I remember one year for the art festival that my high school had, we were each required to put an artist statement up with our artworks. And I do not remember the exact wording for my artist statement, but it went something along the lines of, an artist is not someone who just copies. If an artist was a copier, then every Xerox machine would be an artist, or something more than that. Yes, we copy. But when we copy, we have to put something of ourselves into it. That was my artist statement, and I still think it's a cool statement. I think there's more to an artist than just that at this point. So I thought that was a nice statement of mine back then. And then I got a little bit older. In college, I ran into another wonderful art teacher. And he taught more than one class. He taught a crafts class. He taught a silk screening class. And the silk screening class is what I'm going to focus on. Now, silk screening, when it was first created, was not considered an art form. It was a means of copying artworks and distributing them. So if you had a painting, you could have a silk screener, or if you didn't have to do silk screening, you could be doing lithography or any type of printmaking. They could make maybe 100 copies of the painting that you've done. And then you could sell 100 copies of the painting, not for as much as you would sell the painting, but it is an extra way to get income. But they were all copies. So it goes without saying that an art form that started off in its infancy as just a way to copy things would, when it becomes a true art form, still be involved in copying things. Anyone who's familiar with Andy Warhol's work knows this. All those silk screens that he did, copying pictures that were either in public domain or pictures of soup cans or famous people, pop culture, all that kind of stuff, that was silk screening. And that teacher I had in college, while he didn't really talk on and on about Andy Warhol, he had some of the same ideas in that he had no problem taking things that were copyrighted or used by somebody else and transferring them into a silk screen and printing them. And he had all kinds of things that he did. Some of them were things that were clip art that he had enlarged. Some of them were pictures that were done as photo silk screen, which is a really cool process. If you ever get a chance to do photo silk screening, very sweet. Some of them were hand-cut stencils, which takes a lot more time and energy, but the results can be very nice. And it was all about copying. And again, none of us had any problem with that. No one had really told us it was wrong. And then I got older. And I started thinking more about copies. I started publishing some of my own stuff. And I started wondering, what if somebody takes this? What if somebody uses this? Napster came, and Napster went. And I came to the conclusion that, so far as my own work is concerned, I do not care if somebody takes my work and uses it, so long as they don't go and sell it without my permission. If you want to take one of my photographs and turn it into your computer's wallpaper, you know, go ahead. It's not going to hurt my pocket any, because I'm not selling my works, really. But don't go and make 100 prints and sell the prints for $1 a piece and try to make a living off of it. That's my personal opinion. As an artist, I can make that decision about my work. Now, since those works were created by me, and anything that anyone gets their hands on has been published one way or another, because that's how I distributed every artwork I've ever done, if I distributed it at all, well, then it's copyrighted by me. I could apply some much more strong copyright restrictions than that. But I was easygoing. I did, however, come to the conclusion that, well, I have the right to say this about my stuff. But don't other artists have the right to say something different about their stuff? After all, those artworks are their artworks, not mine. I might copy them, but I've always known it was a copy. It wasn't mine. It was their idea. So I decided that those programs out there that do free distribution of things, like Napster did, I was not going to use those. There are things out there, there are artists out there that do give permission for their works to be freely distributed. And if they do, then I have no problem with it. But let's just say I don't have a bunch of pirated Metallica on my hard drive. I don't have any Metallica on my hard drive, but that's a whole other story. So pretty much every MP3 I've got is legal. If I want to just talk about music, for example, I've either bought the CD, bought the song off of iTunes, or the artist said, here, share it around. I don't care. Distribute my name so people actually know who I am. And then Creative Commons came around. As soon as I heard about it, I thought it was a cool idea. I didn't start registering my stuff under Creative Commons right away. Sorry I didn't, but now I do. And I thought this was so cool because I was already of the opinion about my work that the Creative Commons was putting forward. Some rights reserved. You can use this, but give me credit. Or you can use this, but give me credit and don't use it for commercial purposes. Or you can use this, but you can only use it under the same license that I've registered it under. And all these ideas are really neat. And if you are not using Creative Commons already, you might want to consider for something. Maybe not everything. You don't have to use Creative Commons for everything you do. But there are people out there who, like me when I was younger, are learning by copying. Let's give them something that they can copy without getting in trouble. If you want to get a hold of me, there are several ways to do so. You can always email me at theartguy@gmail.com. I'd love to hear a comment from you. You could go to my website, www.academicaesthetic.com. And there's show notes there. You can comment on any of those. You can follow links to my art club that I'm working with at my base school. You could check out my Flickr photos, my Furl links, all kinds of stuff like that. And until next time, stay subscribed and fare thee well.